My name is Jacob, and welcome to the second episode of the Folk Podcast. And really, it's the third episode, because the second episode got deleted somehow. Because through acts nefarious unknown, probably Loki, we recorded an entire episode. It was about an hour and 20 minutes long with Sticker Ash, or the Wandering Yggdrasil on Instagram. It was a great episode, lots of great conversation. And after we hit and record, it just did not stay. We don't know what happened, but we lost everything. So we've had to kind of jump to, and we're definitely blaming Loki for all this. So we got the Loki expert herself, Laura, in here to tell us, why did Loki do this to us?
Why does Loki do anything, honestly? I don't know. I feel like he's been feeling neglected lately, to be honest. So he may just have wanted to have some giggles or something. I have no idea. He's been up to stuff lately, and I don't like it.
I've mentioned before in the past that I feel like there are certain gods that seem to be working overtime in North America in particular. One of those being Odin, of course, Thor, but also Loki in some regards. I feel like there's a lot more Loki followers than you would expect. It's definitely something that surprised me when I started going down this path, how many people are feeling the call of Loki. And it's not, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions around his worship and who he actually is.
Yeah, I definitely have found that there's way more of us than even I thought. And it's been kind of cool seeing, like, the emergence of all of us. I feel like for a while we were all kind of, like, hiding in the shadows to an extent because of, like, the reputation he has among the community of Norse pagans. So it's been pretty fun watching a bunch of us come out and actually be like, hey, I'm here, I exist. But it's also slightly terrifying because we're chaos kids and we get into trouble a lot.
So just to start us off, Laura, since you're now our guest on this show, go ahead and if you can, just kind of fill us in who you are, what you've been up to in the community, and maybe just kind of how you got into it.
Yeah, so for those who are new to hearing my voice, I'm Laura. I am Heathen Healer on Instagram and YouTube. I do a lot of pagan parenting stuff, as well as just posts about my everyday life and the shenanigans of having Loki as your patron. So, quick summary of my journey to where I am now. My whole life I've kind of been into like Greek and Norse mythology, and like Hades and Loki were always the ones that kind of stuck out to me a lot. And as we started going down the Wiccan path, and that wasn't really setting well with me. So I started searching for other things, started searching for deities because I felt there was one present, but I just couldn't figure out who it was. And then Loki just kept popping up everywhere, no matter what it was, whether it was Marvel Loki, whatever. He just kept popping up. And so I kind of took that as a sign, ran with it, asked him for confirmation, and he sent me really, really weird dreams. And then I started looking more into Norse paganism, which was feeling more and more right for me. And I found Jacob's YouTube, and we've been uphill since then.
So, Ian, let's hear your two pieces on this. I know you have your experiences with Loki, as well as being like him being the father of hell. So, like, you got to know about her daddy.
Yeah. So, I mean, Laura and I have talked quite a bit about Loki and different experiences. And just for my own, I know the biggest and most common conversations that we have about him is the misconception of him being essentially like evil. And he's not evil in the sense that, like, what you would think of as, like, a bad guy. He just gets himself into situations that he kind of brought upon himself in a mischievous way. It's not out of, any sort of bad intentions or malevolence, in a sense. It's more of I'm going to see what I can start and see how much of it I can get away with. Being the fact that he is the father of hell, which is my matron goddess, I have worked with him a lot in a way of, you know, working with the child of another god kind of ties you in whether you want it or not. So, like, I've definitely had my Loki experiences. I mean, I would have to say, like, my most common one, just to kind of give an idea of the kind of mischief that he, you know, lets out on people. Around Christmas time just this past year, I actually got a flat tire just out of nowhere. You know, it's got, like, those are the kind of things that I feel like most Loki, like, individuals, or followers, I'm sorry, will experience, or people that think that Loki is following them or reaching out to them, is it's very little mischievous things. It's not anything that caused you, like, harm or misfortune or anything like that. It's more of a, I'm going to keep you on your toes kind of situation. But I feel like having him as your patron is probably a lot more intense and a lot more in depth as far as what you're experiencing compared to somebody who's like myself. His daughter is my matron, so I feel like it's a little bit less indirect.
Sure. Have you had any Loki encounters besides what happened an hour and a half ago?
One of my best friends, he's a follower of Loki, but he also worships the Greek god Dionysus. He's more Dionysus than he is Loki. But the interactions I've had with Loki was helping him with his offerings to Loki. And after that first initial offerings, I just, like, my keys would come up missing, or just odd things would happen. And it'd just be so agitating, just time consuming would be more what, like, I witnessed with him. It's just like, okay, Loki, you've had your fun. Give me my keys.
So as a pretty strict Odin guy myself, the thing I always struggle with is, why would one give an offering to Loki? Is it to appease him, or is it to, you know, to make him stop causing mischief, or is it to acknowledge the mischief? Like, hey, what do you want? Because to me, you know, I always give offerings to Odin to either say thanks or to ask for guidance and help. So why would a Loki follower or someone give an offering to Loki?
All of the above, honestly. A lot of what I do is actually just asking for guidance or giving thanks, because as annoying as he can be, he actually is very helpful. But sometimes it is here's some chocolate or here is some cinnamon stuff to get you to stop for a second, please. but a lot of it is actually like you with Odin, where it's just asking for guidance or just giving thanks for things that he's guided you towards or made happen. Because the thing that I've noticed with a lot of us Loki followers is that you have to be a little bit chaotic yourself to work with him, and you have to kind of be the one that's like always on your toes no matter what. So what others might think is super chaotic and super like, oh, why did this happen? Like, what the heck? We're just like, oh, hey, cool. And it's kind of a sign for us of like, oh, okay, that's not where I need to be going, or, oh, I need to be doing this instead. So it may seem very chaotic, but for the most part, it's actually controlled chaos. And it's pretty interesting. So a lot of my offerings are actually like thank yous and like, hey, I need guidance. I don't know exactly how to get here, but I know you are great at thinking about out-of-the-box ideas and ways to get to things. So it's a lot of thanks and a lot of help offerings.
For me, it's definitely more of a, I would say, it kind of goes along the lines of the thank you for, you know, what chaotic situation that you brought into my life. But also, yeah, kind of the chill out with it kind of thing. Like, yeah, it's one thing to have some mischievous situation happen in your life that potentially puts you down a different path that you could have been taking. I wouldn't necessarily say that this is potentially a Loki situation, but it was kind of that that thought process of, oh, I'm going to take a different way for me just recently, take a different way back home from work. And I came across a cow just sitting on the side of the road out of its pen. Now, granted, the way that that situation could have potentially gone, you know, is that cow could have unfortunately been in front of the road or something. And, you know, either a cow could have gotten hurt, or that, somebody in a car or a motorcycle or something could have hit it. So now I think about it, I feel like it could have been like a little tidbit of like trickery or mischief that Loki was trying to pull on somebody else, potentially. Or like that farmer, you know, that cow got out of its pen, but Loki, you know, I came across it and helped get it back into the fence and everything like that. But for me, it's mainly, yeah, just a offering of thank you. I see what you, the message that you're trying to get across me, but I would appreciate it if you did it differently and not in such a mischievous or, you know, pain in the butt kind of way. But yeah, that's mainly like what I give offerings to him for, if I do. But usually they're pretty rare, because he usually stays away because he has that level of respect for hell, I've found, to a degree where he doesn't bother me too much, but when he does, it does get pretty intense at times.
All right, so me being like the Thor bro, like I kind of see it the same way Thor does. Like if something goes wrong, I either think it's Loki's fault or I can go to Loki to answer the problem. Like, because I know Odin's like all about knowledge, stuff like that, but I don't have much of a connection to Odin like you do. But like Loki, I'm drawn to Chaos Kids. You can talk to Ian and Lore. Like I'm drawn to a lot of the Chaos Kids in the Discord of yourself. So it's just like the bond that Thor and Loki has has kind of shifted with me too.
So one thing I'm finding really interesting, especially about being in this community, you know, and having my ear to the ground for so long, it's how people react to Loki. Because I find people like myself who are Odin followers, we don't necessarily like dive into Loki worship, but we acknowledge him and respect him. Where it's same thing with like Odin. Like Odin, you know, has an oath with Loki, which we don't know why they have an oath together. That you know, Loki is his blood brother, and no matter what, you know, Loki will always drink with Odin. You know, Odin will not drink unless Loki does as well. And it's like we don't get to explore that very often, but we know there's that mutual respect. Because I think Odin understands that Loki is a necessary evil in certain times. Or at least necessary chaos, because even though Loki does cause a lot of issues, he can think outside the box, whereas like Thor is like the polar opposite. And any interaction we see with Thor and Loki within the Poetic Edda is always a negative experience. Like Thor hates Loki. And I have found that people who are very devout to Thor and maybe even devout to Tyr typically despise Loki and do not trust him at all. And it's so interesting that even in this modern age, so far removed from the history that we look to, we're still all like, you know, emulating the gods in which we follow and even our interactions with the other deities.
Oh, definitely. Because like me being Thor, I smash my way through any obstacle that comes my way. That's just who I am as a person. Like if I can't just figure it out, I'll try to break it. And if I can't figure it out, usually my go-to person is Ian. Whenever I'm having like some woo-woo stuff, I'll either text Ian or Laura. I'm like, all right, what's going on? What do I do?
Yeah, it is kind of funny to have people come to you and kind of ask like, hey, I think Loki's trying to send me a message, or hey, this happened to me. Is it Loki? But at the same time, I know that I've had this discussion with quite a few people, and I mean, Odin himself is also a trickster, you know, to a degree. So, like, one of the things that I would suggest, too, for a lot of people is look at the potential situation. Is it, if it's more of, like, a little mischievous kind of situation going on, you know, like, losing your car keys, a flat tire, you know, random cow getting out of a pen across the street, you know, it's that I would see more of like a Loki kind of, you know, little playful trickery going on compared to, you know, talking with people about Odin's level of trickery, where it's very serious and almost a little bit more committed from what I've gathered from certain people, as Loki is more of a, hey, I'm going to drop this quick little trick on you and then bounce, you know, and that's the end of it, kind of like, hey, I left this little, you know, I hit your key, the blood finding it, and then he just disappears. But, you know, another thing as well is that I've discussed with people is all gods kind of branch into each other's, I guess you could say, like main domain. You know, every god has their own way of doing things within that same realm. So, like, you could have, like Hel, for example, she could pull some trickery. Luckily, I've never really had any tricks from her. I feel like that would be I wouldn't even know where to begin to where that kind of level of trickery would be, but I feel like Thor, for example, he can be a trickster at times if he wanted to, but I feel it'd be more of like you got too drunk or something kind of a situation, whereas Loki is a hide your keys, or Odin is I wouldn't even know Odin's trickery, honestly. I've never had him pull anything. Maybe you could touch on that, Jacob, but I know that he is pretty big on trickery himself.
Oh, Odin's trickery. I was actually just thinking this. The difference between Odin trickery and Loki trickery is I feel like Loki trickery, you almost know it's going to happen. Like, I feel like you see one object, like you walk in by your car keys and you're like, huh, I placed those in a weird spot. And then you go about your day and all of a sudden you're like, where did they go? And it's like you almost have that premonition of like, you know that chaos is about to happen. Especially in my trip up when I did the interview with OC and the Jupiter. Like, so me and Casey drove up there and I had a car from work because I worked at a car lot. And it was a Ford C-Max hybrid. And we walked up and I was like, yeah, this is the car I'm driving. She's like, oh, this car? I'm like, yeah. And she said that her mom and her got stuck in Kansas in that same car. Like, it broke down on her. And I'm like, well, crap, I can't take my car because it needs a new battery and it has the tags are expired. I'm like, it'll be all right. But the whole time we were driving, I'm like, we knew this was going to happen. We knew something was going to happen with this car. And sure enough, just like an hour north or like 15 minutes north of Columbus, we got a flat tire. And of course, with it being a hybrid, it didn't have a spare battery. So we had to have this whole misadventure with placing this tire. I'm like, we knew this was going to happen. Like, we knew that Loki was going to be on this trip somehow, some way. Whereas Odin, I feel like Odin gives you mischief and chaos and you don't know it's him. Because like with Loki, I feel like you always know it's him a little bit. Odin, you're given nothing. You're given complete and utter silence from Odin. Like, most recently, my life felt like it was falling apart. My house was rejecting me. My job was rejecting me. Like, the world just seemed to be rejecting me. I'm like, why is this happening? Why is Odin quiet? Why am I not getting a sign? And then once I figured it out, Odin showed up, like, in that wanderer way and was just like, I told you you were going to learn something. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, it seems like Odin is very silent about his chaos.
Yeah, I can see that. And I feel like with Loki's trickery, there isn't necessarily a lesson to be learned. It's more of just him doing it for, the amusement of it, just to get something for himself out of it, to a sense. Like, yes, he's going to have lessons, but they're not going to be quite as in-depth as it is, like, with Odin's situation. Like, with you, it had a very impactful effect on your life, and I feel like that level of what lesson they're teaching you is on a completely different scale. Like, Odin's is a very big, deep lesson that he wants you to figure out before he's like, yes, that's it. Whereas Loki's just like, hey, don't put your keys there, cause I'm gonna move them or make them disappear somewhere else, kind of thing, make you late for work, or like, don't stray from your routines, because if you do, I'm gonna mess with you, kind of a situation.
For in a way, I feel like when he does the mischief here, you're forced to give him an offering of your time in a way. So it's like his way of like collecting like attention. I don't know, because we now are making a whole podcast about Loki after all of a sudden our other podcast just disappeared. So it's like he's getting what he wants.
Yeah, he's definitely being the center of attention for today. No doubt about it. Like, just the fact that we had a great conversation beforehand, and then Loki's just like, nah, fam, I'm not feeling that. It's all about me.
He tends to do that a lot, actually. He's such an attention seeker. But yeah, going back real quick, I definitely agree with like how he is more just like inconvenience chaos. He also does have a habit of doing like bigger things, taking things completely out of control for a little bit. But what I love about him is, just from like what I've noticed between the, like him and Odin, right? Odin, after a while, just be like, yes, that's what I wanted you to do. But he doesn't like ever really do anything other than that. Whereas like Loki, he will make you hit rock bottom, completely change everything. And then he'll sit down and be like, do you understand why that happened? Do you understand where I'm trying to take you? And then he's like, good, walk it off. So it's definitely mainly just like earlier I placed my headphones on my nightstand like I always do. And an hour later, I couldn't find them. And I was like, where did they go? And they were in, like, a dresser drawer that my daughter cannot reach. So that was interesting. So it's mainly little things like that, mainly just popping in, saying stupid random things, and then popping back out. But then there are the big times where he just completely flips everything upside down, and you're like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I got to trust the process.
One thing, so one of my big things with this path in general is that I'm a huge history buff. I love learning about history. Most of the video games I play are like historical recreations. And so it's just like one of those things I love collecting this knowledge of. And I think if we look back into history of like, especially the poetic eddas of how Loki is portrayed, it's so easy to slide him into that devil figure as far as like Christianity goes. And especially with Snorri Sturluson and his writings. And this is the reason I have such a critique of what he wrote, even though we do have a lot of information that we wouldn't have had otherwise. But Snorri wrote through the lens of a Christian writer. And therefore, I think a lot of the stories that he saved and a lot of things he recorded were in that Christian viewpoint, especially things like Valhalla and the modern interpretation of hell. But even Loki and his relationship with the other gods, I feel like the only stories we have are these negative interactions. And as I hinted at earlier, it's like we don't know about the blood oath that he has with Odin. I would love to know more about that, and I feel like that would be a possibility. And something we were talking about on the podcast that got disappeared and deleted is the idea of making our new sagas, making our new stories, because we're all having our experiences with these gods. And so I think Loki is one of those ones I'm really excited to see what is written about him in the future, what we write about the experiences we have with him. So are there any particular like big memorable experiences any of you guys have had with Loki in particular that you hope people will read 80 years from now and learn from?
I actually talked about this one in one of my YouTube videos, but basically I was at a really low point. Like I was miserable at work, single parent, didn't know where I was going in life, didn't know what I was doing. It just felt very much like the world was against me. And I hit a really like rock bottom moment, left my job, was like, I don't know how I'm going to do anything, but I just knew I couldn't be there anymore. And he actually, I was like curled up in my bed sobbing, which I don't do often. And he just kind of popped in, and like, it felt like he just kind of sat next to me and just kind of like patted me on the head and was like, I'm here. It's okay. Like, you're going to get through this. It may seem bad now, but that was what you needed to do type of thing. So, definitely a side of him that not many people get to see. And so I feel very like lucky that I have that relationship with him, because I definitely needed that in that moment to just not completely crumble into a pile of mush and never come out of it. But it definitely, he has many, many faces, and I'm glad that that one is one of them. He's actually pretty caring when he wants to be.
Yeah, I feel like that part of him kind of stems from him being a parent. I mean, yeah, he may not be the greatest of fathers, given the fact that, you know, just with that story of essentially him, I want to say like abandoning his children, but just the way that's those situations played out, where, you know, he essentially let the other gods kind of do with them as they saw fit. But there's still that, like, he's still a parent, you know, like, and I feel like that's where that side of him comes from, where it is a, you know, a caring, I guess you could say like a father figure kind of vibe that you could get from him, where it's, yes, I'm going to pull tricks, you know, dads tend to do silly jokes, you know, it's just kind of a thing, you know, where the whole term dad jokes come from. And I feel like, you know, he'll be very joking and playful at most of the times, but I feel like when you really do need it, he will be that shoulder to lean on, in that sense of, okay, I need to get serious, I'm here for you kind of a situation.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely has. That's actually a really good point. Like, yeah, he's not going to be winning any Father of the Year awards anytime soon. But he definitely does. My favorite thing to tell people is, even though he was written in kind of this negative light in a lot of the texts. If you look at all the stories and really like look and analyze them, you will see every single face that he has. He has multiple faces. So there's the face of I was drunk and it was funny. There's the face of I want to watch the world burn. There's also the dad face that's going to crack jokes because you're too short to reach the popcorn in your house. But then there's also the face that will sit there and reassure you that it'll be okay. Like, yeah, I know I just put you through hell, but you'll survive. So it's pretty fun to just go back and relook at all of the stories he's mentioned in. And kind of just, if you dig deeper than what the face value of them is, you'll notice that there's a depth to Loki that not many people really notice. Like, he has so many layers to him that I think that's why a lot of like chaotic people are drawn to him outside of him just being a chaos god, is we too have many layers to ourselves. We have many different faces that we put on. And so it's kind of cool experiencing all those different faces with him. Sometimes you experience all of them within a matter of 30 minutes and that's not fun, but it's pretty interesting looking into it and really getting to see all those different sides of him that not many people have noticed or that they just refuse to see because he's just been written as this villain.
Right. Like, one thing that I've noticed, especially reading Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology, is you see a depth to Loki that a lot of people don't realize. It's like, yeah, he can be inconvenient at times, but because of Loki, we have Mjolnir. You know, he's the one that gets the gods into their own binds whenever they can't figure out a way to get out of them.
So something I feel like I'm building an essay in my head, because the thing I really like about the Vikings TV show, and I feel like I look at it differently than anyone else, but the reason I think that is because I look at it from in a filmmaker's eye, and in particular, I don't know who planned it. I don't know if it was a writer. I don't know if it was the actors. I don't know if it was the gods themselves, but several of the characters of that show perfectly represent how I believe the gods act. Like, Ragnar is Odin within the show. Ragnar goes mad by the end, you know, but the whole time it's because he's trying to pursue his own life and his own destiny. And I feel like Floki is the same with Loki. I mean, there are so many calls to like the same stories we have with Floki and Loki, including, you know, after he betrays Ragnar, he gets chained up in the same fashion Loki actually does when he betrays the gods. But I feel like when you watch that show and you watch Gustav Skarsgård's performance of him, you really get to see like why he did those things. Cause like, if you just see on paper Loki, so he persuades Hod to kill Baldur, and it's like, if you just read it down on paper, it sounds like he's a dick. But then if you watch Vikings and see why Floki killed Athelstan, you know, oh, sorry, spoiler alert, he kills Athelstan. Get over yourself. we see why he did it. It was out of jealousy, but it was also out of, you know, a faith to his own beliefs. And it's like when you see it performed in that way, almost like a Shakespearean, you know, performance, you get to see why Loki would have done that. And because Baldur was this, you know, all beautiful god that everyone loved. And, you know, of course, Loki would hate that. So, of course, he would want to test it. And, you know, you give a god a fatal flaw like a mistletoe, Loki's actually going to take advantage of that. And I feel like that's, you know, when watching the show, that's what I really see Loki as. I feel like Floki is a great character to look towards into how Loki's going to be. Because even with Floki and his fatherhood within the show, you know, when he hears that Helga is going to have a child, he doesn't think he's going to be a good father. He doesn't think that he's going to be able to provide enough. And, you know, maybe that's true. Maybe that's how Loki felt as well. But in the end, when Floki learned that his child died, it broke him. And I feel like Loki's the same way. He may not be the best father, but he still cares about his children. He still cares about his followers. He's just maybe not the best at it. So that's my long tangent of why you should look at the Vikings TV show with a special lens, because there is some really good nuggets information mixed in with a lot of historical inaccuracies.
Yeah, I agree with the concept of Loki. Like, yes, he has his moments of extreme mischief, but at the same time, he has its moments of where he hits reality, and you know, he understands that there's more than just pulling jokes and mischief. And in a strange way, he does have some level of commitment to certain things, like with the story with Sleipnir. You know, he has this idea of, I need to stop this wall from being made. Comes up with the craziest idea of trying to, you know, lure this horse, you know, off into the woods, all this stuff, you know, and ends up, you know, fully committing to this idea, and then gives birth to, you know, Sleipnir, and now Odin has this amazing horse, you know, that takes him from, you know, battle to battle. Like, the outcome of his mischief, like what Sherd was saying, has great effects in the long run with some of the things that are created out of, you know, his chaos. But it's also that level of commitment that he sticks to when going down that path. That's a pretty admirable thing to look at in a way, and not just be looking at him, like you said, like just a dick, like just somebody that is trying to cause problems for no reason than just causing problems.
A note on that, you know, I was just thinking, like, with his children, I mean, his children all perform important functions. I mean, Sleipnir is probably, you know, the least interesting. It's just a really fast horse that he, you know, lets Odin ride. But I mean, without Hel, I mean, if he didn't have, you know, Hel, who would watch over the underworld? Who would have to watch after, you know, majority of the dead that, you know, get left here in Midgard? And then, you know, Jormungandr, you know, to me, Jormungandr is the, you know, the ocean currents, you know, that is what keeps the ocean moving. It's what, you know, just really brings life to it. So it's like, where would we be without his children, even though his children are looked at usually with a negative lens?
Yeah, I know that's been a discussion that I have instigated quite a bit in the Discord of Loki's children, you know, with their own importance. You know, and the big thing that I've always brought up is, you know, what do people think about his children essentially being gods in their own right? Because, you know, we see Hel as, you know, the goddess of the underworld, you know, overwatcher of the dead that die of normal causes, diseases, things like that, that basically just don't die in battle, you know, the more common folk. And, you know, she is considered a god. And then you have, you know, Fenrir, who, you know, is powerful enough and, you know, strong enough and destined to kill Odin, you know, in his own right. Like, he is a, you know, at a level of a god that can kill another god, basically. And then, like what you're saying with Jormungandr, it's, you know, he's so powerful that he is essentially containing the world together and the currents and everything like that. So in their own right, you know, like through his, like Loki's, I don't want to say misdeeds, but his mischievous and sometimes tasteless actions, you know, he has created powerful beings and powerful situations, just, you know, for giggles sometimes, you know. But yeah, it's very interesting to look at it in that aspect of the great things that he's created based off of, you know, that pulling a prank potentially, or just trying to misguide somebody or another god.
I feel like Laura, you know, I feel like you can speak on this with a little bit with me. So one of my concerns with Loki worship and Loki in this modern age is Tom Hiddleston. I feel like he has really, I mean, it's not like he didn't do a great job. He's probably the best thing that happened in the Thor movies, but I feel like he's not a perfect representation of Loki. And I feel like he's too sexy, because I feel like, in particular, I see a lot of women that follow Loki, and I fear it's because of Tom Hiddleston. Can you put my mind at ease, or do you think I'm onto something here?
He is too sexy for his own good. It's not fair. Nobody should be that attractive. But I definitely think that Marvel and Tom Hiddleston in particular has a very big part in a lot of Loki followers kind of emerging, and it's definitely been one that it's, you hate to love it, but you can't not acknowledge that it is definitely playing a big part. There are some who literally just roll with it, thinking that Marvel Loki is Loki, and that's that. Like, that's just, Marvel is what it is. And that they will never see Loki as anything other than Tom Hiddleston, which we all know that is not even remotely how he looks. But it definitely does play a big part. I found that those who are definitely more serious about it and have kind of looked into Loki because of Marvel have looked into the actual mythology. And then there's just those who are the Hiddlestoner fangirls. Yes, that is the actual name for his fangirls. Who just kind of take it and roll with it as Tom Hiddleston is Loki and it will never be anything other than that. But honestly, with having interactions with Loki, he doesn't mind it because he's an attention whore and he will take any attention he gets, whether it is because of Marvel or not. But I definitely found that in the beginning for me, he did show up as Tom Hiddleston Loki because that was what I was used to and he didn't want to like shell shock me in a way. But it was, he came in the guise of Tom Hiddleston, but it wasn't like the voice was different. There were things that were different. So you could tell it was not actually him. And then now his favorite form, honestly, is, and it's pretty funny you mentioned Floki, because his favorite form right now is jeans and a Floki t-shirt. And then just the way he normally looks. So like long red hair, like that I'm really muscular because I'm skinny kind of muscle. And just like a gangliness about him, but yeah,
I like to call that stoner fit.
Yeah, that's definitely that's definitely him to a T. but yeah, it's definitely it does concern me at points because, and I tell everyone this, whether they're very serious and came into finding Loki through actual paganism or Marvel, it can be a little scary seeing all of these fangirls like pledging themselves to this Marvel character, not realizing that he is an actual god and stuff. Because at the end of the day, yeah, he has these many faces. Yeah, he can be super caring. Yeah, I have a pretty awesome relationship with him where we can kind of banter and fight like a married couple and I'd be okay. And he's not going to like completely kick my ass. But at the end of the day, he is a chaos god and he will hurt you at times, not physically, but emotionally and mentally, he will break you at times. So it's definitely something that concerns me with a lot of people who don't reach into it further and look into it further, because you're playing with a really, really powerful form of chaos.
Thank you for both amusing me and answering that question very well, because I think that it is a difficult conversation, especially with popular media picking up so much, especially with the Viking era and Norse mythology in general. I mean, we were seeing so much more. You know, we have Vikings. I mean, Vikings getting a spinoff show. We have Assassin's Creed Valhalla. We have Marvel's Thor. We have a plethora of video games, tons of music. You know, and it just seems like every day we're seeing more Norse and Viking-related content. So learning to differentiate between the good and the bad between those is, I think, really important for our modern era of, you know, of Norse pagans.
Yeah, and that kind of touched on what we had talked about before. The lost recording of, you know, I brought up, like, do your research, you know, before diving too far into a particular situation. Or, you know, like I had said previously with that recording was, you know, don't rush to pick a primary deity or a matron god or goddess, because if you're going on it based off of Marvel or, you know, just the Hollywood aspect or the, you know, the big media kind of situations of, you know, entertainment, it's not going to be what you expect. It's not going to be the real thing. It's like, yes, it's okay to be intrigued by, you know, Tom Hiddleston's Loki, to start doing the research into Loki to find out how he actually is, but not just, oh, it's Tom Hiddleston, that's how Loki is. Sexy, you know, whatever. I'm gonna, you know, make an oath to Loki based strictly off of that. That's just, you know, that's playing with fire that you're guaranteed to get burned with, kind of a situation. Whereas, you know, okay, Loki sounds interesting. You know, how is the real Loki? You know, if people have that understanding that the Marvel Loki is based off of a actual, you know, Norse god, you know, they start to do that research, you kind of, you potentially spare yourself from having something, you know, chaotic happen to you that you don't want or didn't expect if you just blindly follow it.
maybe Sherd, you can attest to this with me as non-Loki followers. I feel like Marvel in particular gave like Thor and Odin kind of like a bland image. I know in particular with me with Odin, like that is the Marvel version of Odin is just so bland and boring and uninteresting that it just like irks me. And you know, it's not like Loki gets all this attention from Marvel and it's like, oh, you gave this terrible representation of Odin, honestly. Not that the actor didn't do he's a good actor, but at the end of the day, like he didn't do anything Odin related at all.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, being a follower of Thor, like Chris Hemsworth, you know, muscular, all that. Thor never appeared to me like that. Like, it's like, what the heck, man? Like, all they did was like, okay, Muscle Man. And he's much more than just Muscle Man. He depends more on his hammer, really, than his muscles. And, you know, there's aspects about Thor that just Marvel just did not do that good of a job with. And I was disappointed.
And I feel like with Thor in particular, like, I feel like he's a lot smarter than a lot of people realize. He's not just, like you said, he's not just muscle. There's so much more to Thor even than thunder. I mean, the representation of the oak, the god of the hearth. And I mean, he's, you know, in quite a fan. Doesn't he? Yeah, there's the poetic edit where he gets into a riddle match with Riddle Weaver. And he's the one that actually discusses with Riddle Weaver, like, the fates of the world, right? Like, that's a thing.
You know, my favorite one with Thor is whenever he's arguing with Odin, you know, across with the ferryman, you know. Everybody thinks he's just this big muscle meathead, and he's not. But, and like Neil Gaiman, he says whenever Thor like wakes up and he knows the Sif's hair, you know, what did he do to you? He knew Loki had something to do with it. That's just how he knew that. Like, he's not just a bumbling idiot. He's like, okay, so Loki had some fun. I'm going to go fix the problem. Or I'm going to get Loki to fix his problem.
While we're kind of on that subject of Marvel's misrepresentations on certain deities, I definitely have a lot to say about the extreme misrepresentation of Hell in those movies, calling out Thor Ragnarok. For one, she's not Thor's and Loki's sister, by any means. That is completely false. Not a child of Odin. She is a child of Loki. And it's that it kind of goes back on that that misrepresentation of them being evil, kind of like with Loki being personified as, you know, a devil in a sense, where it is like with Thor Ragnarok, Hell is considered this absolute, you know, like, warlord, kill everything, you know, just no remorse kind of a situation. But that's not how she is. That's not how she is personified in, you know, even just her story when the gods find them, you know, little Loki's children. You know, she's a very quiet, shy girl that, you know, would rather take care of, you know, the dead that passed on by normal means, you know, then causing war. Like, yes, she has a part in the Ragnarok story, but at the same time, she's not out there to necessarily start it or to cause it or to, you know, inflict wars upon people. So, like, I was going to throw my two cents on that Marvel representation of her, because it's infuriating as well.
Yeah, no, it's, oh, man. That was bad. But just to, you know, protect my honor, it's Alvis Maul, and it's Thor's interaction with Allwise, not Riddle Weaver. It's been a while. I need to do a reading of that. I actually really like that poem, but I do think it does show a different side of Thor that a lot of us don't know, and it's the fact that he is inquisitive, that he is intelligent. He's not just this brute, and he's also got a red beard, and he's not blonde. But, you know, maybe I'm biased, because I have a red beard.
Oh, no, you're 100% right on the red beard thing. That's why I'm so envious for those of you who got to see my brother. He has that beautiful red beard, and I want it, and I didn't get it.
No, I saw someone, like, I feel like they were pretty accurate with it. They were talking about how Thor most likely looked more like a like the guy that played the mountain in Game of Thrones, like what's his name, Thor Bjornsson, or is it, like, Bjorn Thorson or something like that? And it's like, that's more accurate. You know, he's going to be bulky, not like tone, six pack, like he's gonna be able to crush a mountain with his fist, kind of bulky,
right? But no, like a lot of my favorite stories, especially like the most one I listening to a lot on the Audible version is Neil Gaiman's Nordic Mythology, because I like the way he reads his own story. And my favorite ones are the ones with Thor and Loki, because like their interactions are so beautiful with the way like he's written it and the way he tells it, because I picture them actually interacting that way.
I forget what story it is. You know, I need to memorize all the stories, I guess. But the story where Thor and Loki are traveling to the home of the giant, and they they take those kids with them because the kids like broke the leg of the goat or something like that. And it's like the whole time they're just traveling together. And I don't know. I like that idea of adventure, because it seems like Thor in particular travels a lot. You know, with Harbutsjold, he's traveling back from the east or the west back to Asgard. And even in that story with Loki, he's traveling somewhere. It's like Thunder. Thunder is all around us. He's always traveling. He's always seeking adventure, always telling his tales. But we could make a whole nother podcast on Thor himself, most likely. But to wrap up our Loki video, that's definitely our Loki podcast that we did not expect. I feel like he got what he wanted. He's gotten his attention. You're welcome, Loki. We still had some great conversations that you erased. I blame you for those. but do you guys have any last words for the listeners on Loki? Because we can actually go ahead and start wrapping this up.
I mean, I think we did a pretty good job. I mean, he's not totally evil, but he is going to have his own ways about doing things in your life. And he can help you. I mean, just know he can help you, but it might come at a cost that you don't see.
Yeah, just please do your research if you're considering having him as a patron, because there are many layers, and he is not above messing with you for his own personal gain or for your own personal gain, but you just won't realize it until way later. So just please do your research. Please be careful, because he will hurt you in ways that you were not prepared to be hurt.
So Laura, real quick, before we let you go and before we end the podcast, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Heathen Healer, all lowercase, and YouTube, it's the same exact thing, so just Heathen Healer on YouTube, and my Instagram also has my link to my YouTube, if that's easier for you guys.
All right, awesome. So if anyone's interested in being on the Folk Podcast as a co-host just for an episode, please email us at thefolkpodcast@gmail.com. It's all lowercase, thefolkpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully, when we have you on the show, we won't lose the recording again. But I feel like we made up a pretty good episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've learned a little bit. But, folk, until next time, until the hall, skull.
Skull.
Let's hear that skull, Laura. Come on.
Sorry, I was waiting for the skull.
Skull.